I am so excited for this morning. There is like a buzz in the air, a sea of orange. Hopefully you all, I see most of you got your t-shirts. If you didn't, feel free to go out. We've got plenty of t-shirts in plenty of sizes, so feel free to go grab a t-shirt. And I'm just excited about this morning and going out and serving the community. What that means for our hearts, what that means for their hearts. And I didn't introduce myself. My name's CJ Mustin. I'm the student minister. But I love this church because when God moves, our people recognize that he is moving and they get behind it. And you guys are evidence of that this morning. So I am so excited. Give God a hand. And what I can't think of a better way to start a morning with such excitement than to watch someone accept Jesus Christ and get baptized. So if you turn your attention to the baptistry, we've got a baptism this morning.
One another, shake hands.
Good morning. Are we blessed with the beautiful day for this project or what? Just beautiful outside. Just an absolute blessing. This first song says, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide in my heart, and I know it's the love of the Lord. Scripture says that they will know you are my disciples because you love one another. Nothing more important, nothing bigger we can do than go out and do the kind of thing that we're going to do as a family today. But it's what we should be doing every day on our own, which we know that. It's awesome to see all you guys here. It's kind of a glare up here a little bit right now. It's too bad we couldn't have picked a bright color for these shirts. I don't know. I don't even know if they'll be able to see us or not. So let's sing to him this morning.
Oh, I'll do this.
Oh, a fountain flowing deep and wide in my heart, and I know it's the love of the Lord. It's the love of Jesus. He abides in my heart, and I find joy as I learn to love Him more. Deep and wide, love reaching out to you and me. Deep and wide, love lifting up to set us free. Deep and wide. Trust Him.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy is your name. That's what we're going to sing together this morning. We're here. We're going out to do what we're going to do this morning out of love because of Jesus.
Seeking you as a precious tool, Lord, to give up by
sing that one more time together.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy.
Seated.
Good morning. We're entering our time of service where we celebrate communion. And communion was instituted at the Last Supper, where Jesus met with his disciples for the Passover meal. And during that meal, he also washed the disciples' feet. And that's kind of, God has everything planned out. You know, there is nothing left to chance. I think why we're here all this morning, God foresaw this when he created this earth and created us people. He designed this day for us. And he wants us to serve. And so that's why this is so special to have this super service Sunday, to see all of you here eager, ready to go out there and work and to serve him and to be his hands and feet. And as we celebrate what he did for us on the cross by taking this communion, let's just go out and share that same love to the people we minister to today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you now. We just thank you so much for all that you've done for us. You've given us far more than we can deserve, far more than we can ever expect, and far more than we could ever ask for. And you did that because you love us. And as we step out of these walls today and we go out and be your hands and feet, help us to show that same kind of love to the people that we come in contact with today, that there is no doubt that they can see that you are truly the creator and the savior of the world, and that by our actions and by our willingness to serve, that others can see that through us. And we just pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you. First of all, I want to say thanks for joining us for Super Service Sunday. Now, I want to say that you are probably the brightest congregation in the United States this morning on average as I look out to you. And I want to say for our 1050 service people, this is what it's like at 8:30 in the morning. Welcome to the 8:30 service. Now, seriously, somebody asked, they were talking about a bulletin change, and their congregation wasn't accepting the bulletin change. And I said, well, really, our congregation has a culture of change. Now, we don't try to whiplash you ever, and we try to communicate and share change with you, but this was a big change. This is the first time we've changed service times on a Sunday morning in the last 5 years. So we're kind of careful about what we do and what kind of curveballs, but we think that this is a significant event and an opportunity to reach out to our community, to our neighbors, and to share the love of Christ. This year our theme is love, and we are counting random acts of love, and you guys are doing a great job, and so I'm very, very proud of you. And we're in a message series called Better Together, and this morning it's basically on serving. We are better together when we serve. Now, we get to know each other when we play together, when we work together, and when we serve together. And some of my most fond memories in student ministry, in our youth ministry days, were on long-term mission trips where things broke down and things didn't go exactly as they were planned. But those were bonding moments. And so not only are we going to get the opportunity to serve today, but we're going to bond together as a congregation. You're going to meet people in our congregation in a different way rather than shoulder to shoulder facing forward in a pew, but life on life sharing together. And this is going to have, it's just an opportunity to grow in love for one another and to others locally, but hopefully to extend globally across the world. This morning I selected a passage that should be very familiar to you. It's Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And it's the parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15, 1 through 7. It says, now the tax collectors and the notorious sinners, that's in some translations, the notorious sinners. Do you know, how many of you know a notorious sinner? Some of you may not know one. I know several. I've had people say, boy, that guy you hang out with, he's really rough. And I just smile and say, yeah, he is, but he needs Jesus. So now the tax collectors and the notorious sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he had lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, when you think about this parable, I want to know who's responsible for that lost sheep that wandered off. Who's to blame for that lost sheep? Was it the shepherd? Was it because he didn't build his fold or his fence well enough? Did he not love that sheep enough? Who's to blame? Now, if you look in the next parable, and most of you are familiar with that, it's the lost coin. The lady had 10 coins. This was her dowry. She lost one of them. And when she found it, what'd she do? She rejoiced and celebrated. So we have a sheep that got lost, and somebody went, the shepherd went and looked for it. We've got a lost coin, and the woman went and looked for it. And then the final parable in this Luke 15 passage is about a lost son. Now, we all know some people who are lost prodigal sons. And we might ask, well, who's to blame? Who's responsible for that lost child? And if you know very much about this parable, you know that God is the parallel of the father in this passage. So can we blame God for this prodigal child? Because God is perfect, right? Can we blame him? And we would shake our heads, no. Who's responsible for that child? That child is responsible. And he returns on his own. Now, these three parables fit together very well in this passage because there's an emphasis on God's love and grace for outcasts. God's mercy is now described in an emotionally touching way in these parables. Now, I've wrestled with this week, and I've really never thought about this, and maybe some of you that are more mature and more biblically knowledgeable might have known this, but Luke might have been the only writer in the Old or New Testament that was possibly a Gentile. Now, I can't say that for sure because there's a debate amongst commentators and scholars about this, but he possibly wrote this, and the only parable of these three that are in the Gospels was the parable of the lost sheep. So the lost coin and the prodigal son are only contained in the Gospel of Luke. And so in saying all of that, maybe Luke identified most in being an outcast, being far from God, maybe a notorious sinner, because you see, a Gentile, and most of us are Gentiles here in this room, probably 99% of us are Gentiles, we're not even allowed into the temple, into a relationship with God. Remember, the Gentiles were those that were destroyed. When Joshua went into the promised land, those were the people that were destroyed. But through Christ, we have been saved. Not the chosen, but now we are the chosen. So here he is sharing, Luke is sharing about God's love and grace in our Heavenly Father. We're reminded that we were once outcasts, notorious sinners, and of how great God's love is for us. God accepts all repentant sinners, no matter how outcast, how far away they are from God. But I want to look again in Luke chapter 15, and I want you to look at how the older brother responds. And I think this is very, very important because I think we who are churched, who have been Christians for a long, long time, relate the most to this oldest brother. And this is where our temptation lies. If you look in Luke chapter 15, verses 28 to 32, I want to call your attention to this. It says, or Luke writes, this is how the elder brother responded, but he was angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, he didn't even call him his brother, came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, this young man was dead, now brought to life, lost, now found. And rather than feeling sorry that the outcast missed the joy of an obedient life, of a faithful life, that they could reserve salvation, not having to bear the burden of the law, like the scribes and Pharisees. That's what grace is about. Now, we as a church, we as a people, need to continually examine the significance of these parables. Will we be the church of the elder brother or the church of the loving father? Now, today we are going to start and to develop relationships with our neighbors in our community. And I hope this is the beginning of a lifelong relationship. But we're not there to evaluate or to judge, but we are there to do acts of love for God and for them. And the question is, when we do this today, do we see people or do we see projects? Do we see people or do we see projects? Now, we all signed up probably for projects today, but I want to encourage you to get to know the person, get to know the story. I love it around here, and I love Brazil, Indiana. I know I'm crazy, but I love it here. I love this small town. When I call my order in at a certain restaurant and a certain waitress answers that phone, she can mouth the words that I am going to say. And I said, "Do you know my name?" And she says, "Yes," because it's personal. I love that. I love going into places and knowing and being known. But I don't like to be treated like a project. Do you? Or just a number to be fulfilled. I like that personal touch. It's not one of those motor cars that go down. I'm not an assembly line project. I'm a person that has needs and wants and emotions and desires, just like you, just like the folks that we're going to serve today. Do we see people or do we see projects? And we've got to check our motivation in that moment and treat them as Jesus would. I believe that's why Jesus was so good with notorious sinners and publicans, because he didn't see their sin, they saw the person, and he loved the person. He wasn't condoning sin, and nor should we, but he saw the person. The other conflict is ministry and service versus facility. Today, the people of God are going to go out on a Sunday morning. We wrestled with that from a leadership perspective. We gather, and then we go. The Great Commission says, "Go ye therefore." That's the overriding verb of that verse, go. It's not to make disciples. That's the end result. But go is the primary verb. But truly, we are to go out every day into the world that we are in, whether it's our neighbors or our coworkers, wherever we are, we're going in the name of Jesus to share and to love. Now, this morning, I just want to bring you back to where we need to focus. When we look at our vision, it's guiding people home. And our new logo has a what around it? What is that? It's a compass. And our compass doesn't point north. Now, you Boy Scouts and folks that are military, you know that a compass points north. Our compass points to Jesus and heaven. Our place is eternal. Our Lord is eternal. We have hope because we always point people to Jesus. Our mission is what? To lead people to a loving father, a caring family, and a life-changing faith. It's about life transformation. And this morning, this afternoon, we're going to hopefully gather stories of people that we're going to connect with that will begin that life transformation. Now, we don't do that. We can't do that. I can't change your life. You can't change my life, but Jesus can. When he comes inside of us, he gives us life, and he changes us. And so we have the opportunity to serve in the name of Jesus, and it's a part of our discipleship as we grow. And it's because of Jesus that we are doing this service and this ministry. Now, this is a big dream for you. It's a big dream for us as a church. I mean, this was risky. I had somebody tell me this week that we were going to have a low attendance and there will only be 25 people here. I wasn't very optimistic, was it? It took some guts for our leadership to do this and to take a risk. But you being here today just proves that what Jesus is doing in your life and your desire to do makes a difference. It's part of your life transformation and our transformation as a church. Now, again, let's not be the elder brother or the Pharisee in people who are not here today and judging them. You are called. They may not have been called. This may not be their thing. That's okay, because we're not all called to the same things, but we're called to serve the same God. And I just want to say I'm proud of you, and I know God is proud of you. And remember, as we guide people home today to a loving father, a caring family, and a life-changing faith, it's all about people, and that we aren't the answer, but Jesus is the answer, and he is Lord forever and always. This morning, our invitation is, I will follow. But I think I'm preaching to the choir today. You've already decided to follow. By and large, you are there. And I just appreciate that. And so this is a song of dedication. Now, it's also a song of invitation, because you probably will never hear me preach that I won't say, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you need to make that decision today, now, in this moment. Because life has no purpose and meaning, as far as I can tell, without him. And you have no hope for eternity beyond the grave without him. And he gives us purpose. And so, if you would please stand, I'm going to pray. The band's going to come. We're going to sing an invitation, but a song of dedication. And let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the work that you do in our hearts, in our lives, in this moment, as a congregation, as a people of yours. Father, I thank you for these, your disciples, your followers. I ask your blessing upon them. And Father, for those that are that lost sheep that wants to know, hey, is the fold still open? Can I come in? The fold is still open. The shepherd is still searching, and he's knocking at the door of your heart. And all you have to do is come and confess him as Lord and Savior of your life and be obedient to be his disciple. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come this morning?
Says it all, doesn't it?
All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust. when you move, I'll move. I will follow you. And whom you love, I'll love. And how you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow.
Portion of the money that you guys give here goes to our student ministry, and that helped support them last year when they went to the Christ and Youth Conference, and that's where they heard a speaker talk about on at his church where he did a super service Sunday kind of a deal. So it's those kids that caught this vision. It's not like the leaders of this church, the elders, Chris or CJ or anybody like that came up with this whole plan. It was these kids, and they came back on fire, and they came and presented to the elders and said, this is what we want to do. And the elders looked at all those kids and just kind of saw that fire and that desire in those kids. And we said, we're on board with these kids. We want to support these kids in their vision. And so here we are today. So, and that's all because of you guys, because you guys are so generous in your offerings that we can send these kids to these conferences so they can hear other people speak and they can come back on fire for him. But ultimately our goal should be that one day when we're in heaven, we're in front of God, and you know, he says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. And this is the perfect opportunity for us to step outside these walls and do those kind of things, so that way he can say to us one day, well done, good and faithful service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for what you instill upon us. We just thank you for these group of kids that went to go hear a speaker who inspired them to come back to this church and to present this idea to the leadership, and that the leadership took that and said, hey, we're going to support you in this, and we're going to set aside a Sunday to go out and to do your work. And we just pray now that you bless each and every person right now, that they go out there, that they will be a blessing to themselves more than the people that they are blessing, because to serve you is truly an honor that we can never seem to repay for what you have done for us. And we just pray now that you take these tithes and offerings and just help us to continue to plant the seeds and to continue to grow and to bring souls back to your kingdom and find those lost sheep and just bring them in, and we can all rejoice. And we just pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
On the mic. There we go. Here. There's no plug today. I'm the plug. I know. It's disappointing. I got one woo. Thanks for the support, CJ. Remember, we're going out. There's going to be signs with the group you signed up with out.
Go ahead and dismiss those leaders.
All right. We're going to dismiss those leaders that are going to be leading groups today. They're going to have signs. If you didn't sign up because you're waiting to see how you were removed of God, you just join one of those groups. Just join any of those groups. You see a whole bunch of people going out right now, and just join up with them and go and do. Okay, you can ask questions and figure it out. Remember, at noon today, We're going to have lunch together in the Family Life Center. And the folks you meet as you go doing whatever service God calls you to, invite them to lunch. Just invite them. We're going to have plenty of food, and so invite them to lunch. Invite everybody, okay? And we're just going to have a great time of celebration. Some of our projects we're going to extend longer than that, and some of them will be done by noon. And so, I want to say thank you for doing this. I know God is pleased with your service. Will you please stand? I'll close in prayer. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your goodness and your graciousness. The Father, that we are reminded that we were once sinners saved by grace. Now we are saved, made righteous by the blood of Jesus. I ask that you would bless these, your people, as they go out and serve, that they would love in the name of Jesus those that they serve. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's people are now leaving the building to leading people to a
loving Father,
caring family, life-changing faith. 3 minutes to what?